Thank you, man. I'm not going to make a comment about clapping again about me because Mike's not here, but that was a weird one. They clap for me. That one time was enough. All right. Well, today we'll be in Malachi chapter 3. We're looking at verses 13 through 18. We're continuing our series in the book of Malachi, and next week we'll be finishing that up. It's the last book in the Old Testament. So if you can find Matthew, you can find Malachi. You just go forward a few pages there. Malachi chapter 3, beginning with verse 13, the word says, "Your words have been arrogant against me, says the Lord. And yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his charge and that we have walked in mourning before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the arrogant blessed. Not only are the doers of wickedness built up, but they also test God and escape. And then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another and heard, and the Lord gave attention and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. So you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him." Let's pray. Lord, as we sang, Lord, you are a great Lord, and none compare to you, Lord Father God. And so we want to exalt you, and we exalt you with our song, with our very lives, with, Lord, our response to your word. And so, Lord, with the preaching of your word, the message this morning, Lord, just speak to us. Let us respond in a way that's honorable to you, Lord. Forgive us for the times we haven't either listened to your word, or we've listened, but yet we've walked out on Sunday mornings and we've forgotten the word and we've not done the word. Lord, James tells us to be doers of the words and not hearers only. And so that's my prayer and all of our prayers today, that we would not just be hearers only today, but that we would actually leave and live differently for you. And so this morning would not just be a practice of religion, it would not just be a service we attend, but that we allow you to use that to change our lives, to make us more like your Son, Christ. So just bless this time. We thank you. It's in your Son's name. Amen. You ever thought about what if Donald Trump were president? Well, there you go. That summarizes it, right? Politics would be a lot more interesting, wouldn't it? I'm just thinking he'd probably move the White House to a golf course. The Oval Office would be painted gold, and there'd be some gaudy chandeliers hanging down. There'd be news pieces about his hair rather than his politics. And I'm thinking when it's time to hire his cabinet, he would probably have a reality show of who would get on. And if somebody messed up, there wouldn't be a hearing. They would just sit at the table, and he'd say, "What? You're fired." And so that would be interesting. I don't think he's going to be president. I read that, or heard he did have an exploratory committee, and he's hired a few political aides, and he's testing the waters about whether to run for president or not. I think some people like his just direct approach and his business acumen and all that. So that would be interesting, to say the least. Maybe he has the money. Maybe he can pay for our taxes for a day or two, right? Okay. Well, they say the president of the United States is the most important position in the world. And it comes with certain responsibilities and privileges. And you and I may not be president. Somebody here may be one day, who knows. But chances are we may never be president. You may never work for Donald Trump. But we work for the most powerful, most important person in the world, right? Amen. Amen. And it's not Donald Trump. It's not Barack Obama. It's God. We work for God. We serve him. We are his ambassadors. And with that comes certain privileges, but also with that comes certain responsibilities. And part of our being ambassadors, part of our working for God, is being servants. You know, God has called us to serve him. We are called to be servants. And so this is what the message today is about serving. You know, Jesus was a servant, right? If you remember, it says Jesus came not to be served, but to what? Serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The 12 disciples, when they followed Jesus, they worried about who would be the greatest. And Jesus said, if any of you want to be the greatest, you must be the servant. You must be the servant. You know, the path of true greatness is serving. Greatness is not being in Air Force One. It's not living in Trump Tower. It's not being a billionaire. True greatness is serving the Lord. It is serving the Lord. Now, a big part of serving the Lord is serving in our church, obviously, but there's more to life than just serving here in our church. We're called to live a life of service, to serve others, to care for others, to be other-centered. And ultimately, service refers to everything that is part of following God, whether our obedience, our worship, our giving, everything is tied into serving Him. Psalm 100, verse 2 says, serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Are you a servant? And are you serving with gladness? You know, maybe you are serving the Lord. You're faithful, but you're not serving with gladness. You're serving with drudgery. Or maybe you're just tired and weary from being a servant, and you're thinking about taking a break for a little while. Or maybe you're hesitant to step out and serve. Well, serving is an important part of following God. We're reminded of that in our passage today in Malachi. If you remember, their heart's far from God. They're backslidden. And there's a lot of things that's messed up in their lives. We saw that their marriages are a mess. Their worship is not pleasing to God. And last time we were in this 2 weeks ago, we saw that they were not giving tithes and offerings. And so you and I were reminded about giving, that money is a spiritual issue, that your money is not your money, and that God blesses obedience. Well, our text today shows another problem. They're not serving God either. They're saying it's no point at all in doing that. You ever felt that way? That what's the point? Why is it so important? Why should we serve? Well, I want to give you two realities of serving God. Two realities of serving God. The first is it can be seen as a burden. It can be seen as a burden. When you serve God, it can become burdensome. There was a guy that decided that his life would be more fun if he had a pet. And he just didn't want a dog or a cat, or he wanted an interesting pet. And so he went to the pet store, and he found a centipede that could actually talk. And it actually had 100 legs, okay? So a talking centipede with 100 legs. And so the next day being Sunday, he wanted to invite his new pet to church. And so he walks up to the little centipede box and says, would you like to go to church with me today? And there was no answer. And a little while later, he goes up to the box and says, how about going to church with me? Nothing. A few more minutes later, more urgent, you could tell he's frustrated. He said, are you coming? The centipede said, I heard you the first time, I'm putting on my shoes. I had to read that twice to get it, so maybe some of you will get it later on. But I don't know. The fellow was starting to get a bad attitude, right? He was starting to lose patience, starting to be frustrated. And we get that way with all walks of life, whether it be our job or our parenting or school, but we can even get that way when it comes to serving God. And that's what's happening here in our passage. Notice in verse 13, he says, your words, this is God telling to the people, your words have been arrogant against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? God says in verse 14, you have said it is vain to serve God. So God is confronting the people. It's not the first time in Malachi that he confronts the people. And they're saying some hard things about God. And they're saying it's useless to serve God. And so God is confronting them on that. And, you know, sometimes when we think about serving, we think of automatically of serving on a committee or having a position. And those things are important. And but all life is serving, right? This actual term here, serve, also means worship. It also means obedience. So everything that entails God is wrapped up in this term serving. And so they were saying some hard things about God. Notice in chapter 1, verse 13. Remember, this is the priest with the worship, with giving sacrifices. They started to see things as a burden. And in verse 13, God is directing the priest. He says, "You also say, 'My, how tiresome it is.' And you disdainfully sniff at it." So the priests are getting tired of serving the Lord, and that entailed the worship and the obedience and everything that they were to do. They were tired of it, and the people started to get tired of serving the Lord, and so they started to pull back, and everything was out of whack, and it became a burden to them, to the point they started talking about God and saying hard words. I don't know if you notice on the front of the bulletin, there's a Burger King-like image, if you saw that. Maybe you're trying to fix that little crease in the bulletin on the image there, Miss Beverly. Well, I read the other day that Burger King is on April 1st, and it's not a joke. In Japan, they're going to sell perfume. Did you see that, anybody? You can check it out. Okay, Miss Shirley, she can verify. Perfume in Japan, and it is called Flame Grilled. And it smells like a Whopper. So I guess you could wear it at church and see how many bellies start grumbling. But they hope the point of that is to get people to smell that and want to buy some hamburgers. You know, when Burger King starts to sell perfume, things are out of whack, right? Something's just not right. And that's the same way with our serving the Lord. When we see serving as a burden, something is out of whack. Something doesn't smell right. And so we can see serving as a burden. And I know that firsthand, just full disclosure. I know some people thinking, "Man, preacher, you get paid to serve. That's your full-time job. It's easy for you." No, of all people, it's the most tempting for it to become a burden for me. Because I said earlier, I could be like the priest in Malachi. I mean, this is an everyday thing for me, 24-7. Wake up thinking about the church and serving. Go to bed thinking about the church and serving. And I read an article the other day that really summarized my life. It was about a pastor. And this is his take, and it's a good way to look at me. He said, "Not once, not one single time in all my years, not even for a millisecond, have I ever finished my work. Every single day when I lay my head on the pillow, there was always one more poor person I could have prayed for or sent a note to, more paperwork at the office, one more commentary I could have read for my sermon, one more person I could have visited or called or contacted. There was always a project left undone, always a person at church who wanted some of my time who didn't get it. There was someone I disappointed, someone whose expectations I did not meet. There's always an unchecked list on my to-do thing." I'm like, man, that's my life. And I'm saying that not for you to say, "Poor old preacher, you know, I feel sorry for you. No, I have the greatest job in the world." I'm simply saying I know what it's like to see serving as a burden. So I feel your pain. I know what it's like to want to give up and be tired and to be weary and to wonder, what's the point? Well, we can all get like that, whether you're a pastor or you're a stay-at-home mom or you work at a plant or whatever your calling in life is. And we can be like these people here. And we see there's four things they did wrong. And we can fall into that gap, too, when we do these four things. We see that what they did is they had the wrong response. They had the wrong response. Their response was they were complaining. They were complaining. Notice back in verse 13, God is confronting them. They're saying hard words against God. Now, the idea is that they are meeting together. That there's a gossip group, if you will. They're gathering around the water cooler. They're at the camel races sitting around. And they're talking about how serving is a waste of their time. And so they're getting around and talking about it. But they're not the only ones that are part of the conversation. God's eavesdropping on them, right? He knows what's going on and he confronts them. You know, there's always a group of folks, whether in church or work or wherever, there's always a group of folks that gather and complain, right? Who gather and fuss about stuff. Well, this was that group, bad group that they were doing. And you and I may not gather together and gripe and complain, but it's easy for us to complain when it comes to service. We can complain about what we're asked to do. We can complain about when we're asked to do it. We can complain about, you know, how we're asked to do it. Philippians 2:14 says, "Do all things without grumbling or questioning or dispute." Have you ever responded to serving with complaining? I think we all have. So they had the wrong response. They complained. Also, they had the wrong belief. They had the wrong belief. Their belief was that serving was useless. Notice the first part of verse 14. It says, you have said it is vain to serve God. It said it's wasteless. It's a waste of time. It's pointless. Maybe they got tired. Maybe they didn't think their serving was doing any good. We'll see in a minute. They were watching all the wicked people who were not serving and everything seemed fine with them. So they wondered, what's the point? You ever felt that way? What's the point with me serving? Why? They had the wrong belief. They also had the wrong motivation. They had the wrong motivation. Their motivation was selfish. Notice what it says after in verse 14. It says, you're saying you're serving is vain to serve God. And notice, and what profit is it that we have kept his charge? And that we have walked in mourning before the Lord of hosts. They're saying there's no profit in it for us. What are we getting out of it? We're doing all this work. We're doing all this service. And we're getting nothing out of it. You know, there is blessings to service. But you don't serve for what you get out of it. You serve mainly out of obedience to God, but for what others can get out of it. But sometimes we have that mindset, right? What's in it for me? And it's not about what's in it for us. We can even do that with the church. You know, what can the church do for me instead of what can I do for the church? There was a missionary in India. He was an Indian in India. He's a missionary, Sundu Singh. And he was traveling with his companion through a high pass in the Himalaya Mountains. At one point, they came across a body that was lying in the snow. And Singh wished to stop and help the man, but his companion wanted to move on, saying, we shall lose our lives if we burden ourselves with him. But Singh would not think of leaving the man to die in the ice and snow, and so with great exertion, he put the traveler on his back, and he bore the man onward. And gradually, the heat from Singh's body began to warm up the guy that was with him, and he revived and was fine. And soon both were walking together side by side, catching up with his former companion. They found him dead, frozen by the cold. It's just a reminder that serving's not a burden. It's a blessing. But we can't, if you're motivated by what's in it for me, you're always going to be disappointed. But then the last thing we see is they had the wrong perspective. They had the wrong perspective. You see, their focus was just on the here and now, not eternity. Notice in verse 15, he says, so now we call the arrogant blessed. Not only are the doers of the wickedness built up, but they also test God and escape. So here's really the crux of the issue. They were looking around this problem of evil and why it exists, and they were looking at evil people. These were people who were not following God, and they certainly were not serving God. And they're saying they're testing God and they escaped. Everything's okay with them. They're not serving. So why should I serve? Why should I give all my time and effort? Why should I go to the temple and give my sacrifice? Why should I take care of someone? If the people who are not even serving, following God at all, they're fine. And yet I'm getting tired, I'm getting weary, I'm getting mistreated. Why should I serve? He said they were only thinking about the here and now. They didn't remember that in the future God is going to judge those who do not follow him. And sometimes we lose that perspective. We look only the here and now. See, what happened is they lost their joy in service. You ever done that? You ever lost your joy in serving God? I think we all get to that point somehow or another. But it's seen as a burden. And it's not easy, but we have to serve. So, it can be seen as a burden, but number two, it's really a what? Blessing. It's really a blessing. It's seen as a burden, but serving is really a blessing. Both the hummingbird and vulture fly over the desert. And all the vultures see is rotting meat, because that's what they look for. And that's what they eat. And the hummingbirds ignore the smelly flesh of the dead animals. And so they look for colorful blossoms of desert plants. And the vultures fill themselves with what is dead and gone. The hummingbirds live on what is. They seek new life. And so each bird finds what it's looking for, right? The vulture is looking for something bad and dead and smelly, and they find that. The hummingbird is looking for something sweet and beautiful, and they find that. And when it comes to service and following God, we can be like the vulture or we can be like the hummingbird, right? If you're looking for something bad, you're going to find that. But if you're looking for something good and beautiful and satisfying, you're going to find that as well. It's a blessing, not a burden. Notice in verse 16. And then those who fear the Lord spoke to one another. And so we'll get to that in a minute. But this passage makes it clear there's two groups here in this passage. You have the bad group we just talked about, and then the good group right here. You've got the doubters, and then you got the devoted. You got the complainers, and you got the committed. You got the fussers, and then the followers here. You know, there's always two groups, isn't there? Wherever you are, you're going to have the two groups of people, those who complain and those who get the work done. So we see the two groups here, and I wonder which of these two groups are you a part of? Are you more like a vulture in serving God, or are you more like a hummingbird? And what I find interesting here is that these two groups live in the same exact place, at the same exact time, the same exact circumstances. Everything is the same, but their attitude and their response. One sees serving as a burden, the other see it as a what? Blessing. So how do we get there? How do we stay hummingbirds? Well, the burden people, group A, did four things wrong. Group B did two things right. So we need to do these two things. First, we need to find support. Find support, or be there for one another, encourage one another, however you want to phrase that. Notice in verse 16, then those who fear the Lord spoke to one another. They spoke to one another. The first group got together and fussed. This second group, they met together and encouraged one another. I imagine they said, you know, this first group is wrong. It's serving is a good thing. It's something that we need to do. And so they were there. They met together because they saw the importance of that. You know, when we get off on our own, it's hard. It's discouraging to serve God. How many of you watched LSU play that basketball game the other day? I use that term play very lightly. It was a bad game. Well, it was good until the last 5 minutes, 10 minutes. But just imagine if one of the LSU players decided they were going to play the game by themselves. The other four players sat on the bench. It had been the same result. But just what if they did that? One person out there playing against the five. It would get discouraging, right? It would get tough. It would be burdensome. Why am I doing this alone? And yet we do the very same thing when it comes to serving God. We try to do it alone, but we need one another. Just like this group met together to seemingly probably they're speaking to one another to encourage one another. That's one reason we meet together today, is not just to worship the Lord, but to encourage one another to keep on serving God and being faithful to God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. So we need to find support. We need to encourage one another. Help one another through this. It's a blessing when we serve with others. But the second thing is, focus on God. Focus on God. They were there for one another, but they also focused on God. It says those who what? The first part of verse 16. Then those who what? Feared the Lord, right? They weren't fussing, they were fearing. They were focusing on God. They weren't focused on the circumstance. They weren't focused on the burden of it. They were focused on God. They had a healthy fear of the Lord. But I think part of that too was a faith that their service was not in vain. That it was actually doing some good. Notice there in verse 16, what happened when they met together. The Lord gave attention and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. Isn't that interesting that there's two groups and God noticed both of them? God confronted the bad group and said, quit it. And then God took notice of this group as well. And it says that it was written before him in a book of remembrance. And so maybe it was written down who was there. Maybe it was like a keeping minutes of what was going on, but it was noticed there. And it goes back to the ancient custom of kings. They would write in scrolls certain events and certain people. Remember in the book of Esther of how Mordecai tipped off the king of an attempted assassination or something going on. And so it was written in the chronicles there, the scroll. And one night the king couldn't sleep, and so for whatever reason, he decided to read the scrolls, the books of remembrance, and read about Mordecai and what he had done. The king took notice. Well, here, the King of Kings took notice of this group here, of these people meeting together. Isn't it an encouraging thing that God takes note of us when we serve, when we're faithful to Him? You know, we love it when our parents affirm us and say, good job, or our boss affirms us. But God, when we're faithful, when we serve Him, He affirms us. He notices what we're doing. He takes note of it. And then notice in verse 17, they will be mine. He's talking about those who, group B, those who fear Him, says the Lord of hosts. On the day I will prepare my own possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. So God refers to him as a special possession, and some translations say a special jewel, highly prized, highly valued. And then God was going to spare them. And then as in notice in verse 18, our last passage, verse, it says, so you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not serve Him. So we see two distinct groups of people, those who fuss and who will fall under God's judgment, who do not serve God, and those who fear God, who serve God, and who are His prized possessions. You say, well, what about believers who do not serve God? Does that mean they're going to be judged by God? Or what does that mean? No, that's the whole point, is that there's two groups of people, those who do not serve God and who do not believe God and follow God, and those who do serve God and follow God and believe in God. If you truly follow God, you're going to serve God. If you truly are a child of God, you're going to be obedient, and you're going to be a servant, and you're going to be His highly prized possession. I've shared this before, but it's a great illustration, and it goes right along with our message today. You probably forgot about it anyway. But that was years ago. An elderly missionary couple had been serving in Africa for years, and they were returning to New York City to retire, and their health had declined. They didn't have any retirement. They were discouraged, felt defeated, and they discovered they were on the same boat as President Theodore Roosevelt. He was returning from a big game hunt, and nobody, of course, paid attention to this old couple, these missionaries, but everybody wanted to see the president, and there was a crowd, a band, and all this going on to see this great man. As they were crossing the Atlantic, the missionary, he just got more and more depressed and discouraged. He said to his wife, something is wrong. Why should we have given our lives in faithful service in Africa for God all these years, and yet no one seems to care for us? This man comes back from a hunting expedition, and everyone wants to see him. It doesn't seem fair. Of course, his good wife, as all good wives do, tries to encourage him and comfort him. But as the boat went on, he got more and more discouraged. And when the boat landed in America, New York City, there was, you know, dignitaries there. It was on the front page of the newspaper. Such a big deal about the president. Nobody even noticed the missionaries who were faithful to God. And they went and found some cheap apartment, and they were there. And the missionary just had a breakdown. And his wife said, just go spend time with God in the bedroom and turn it to Him. And then when he came out, he was totally changed. He was happy now. He had a smile on his face. His wife asked what happened. He said, I went in and told the Lord the whole thing. I told Him it's not fair. I told Him how I was bitter because the president received this tremendous homecoming, but no one was there when we returned home. And you know, as I finished, it seemed as though the Lord put His hand on my shoulder and simply said, my child, you're not home yet. What a great reminder for us, right? That God takes notice of us, and one day He will say, well done, good and faithful, what? Servant. Enter the joy of your Lord. So focus on God. So there's two realities. It could be seen as a burden, but it's really a blessing. And so if you're serving right now, I want to encourage you, thank you for your service here at the church, your community, your life of service. Know you're doing the right thing. Make sure you do it with the right attitude. If you quit serving, maybe you got burnt out or whatever, that happens. No, God's called you to serve. You need to get back in the game. And it is a blessing. It's not always easy, but you need to get back there and do it. God still wants to use you. God's not through with you until your casket's up here and we have a funeral for you, right? I don't care if you're 112 years old, God's called you to serve. You need to do that. And so if you're not serving at all, you need to step out in faith. You'll be amazed what God can do through you. Somebody said it's not about ability, it's about availability. Just make yourself available. And of course, the way that we get to heaven is not through serving, it's through trusting in Christ. And so I'll ask you today, have you done that yet? Have you trusted in Christ? You know, we can't impress God with our service, with our works. We're not saved by our service and by our works, but when we're saved, it's going to lead to our service. Have you trusted in Christ and turned from your sin and trusted in Him? And I close with this. Someone said at the close of this life, the question will not be how much you have got, but how much you've given. Not how much you have won, but how much you've done. Not how much you've saved, but how much you've sacrificed. Not how much you were honored, but how much you've served. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this reminder of serving. Lord, I thank you for the faithful service in this church who serve in various positions, or may not even be on a committee. They just come and do whatever needs to be done. And you've called us to do that, but you've also called us to serve outside these four walls. We serve our community, just to help those who are in need. And really anything that is part of following you and obeying you, Lord, being faithful to you. And we think it's never a waste of time. It's never in vain. And Lord, sometimes it's not always easy, Lord, and it may seem like a burden, but it's really a blessing. And so just encourage each one here in their service. Maybe they're getting tired and weary. Just remind them, Lord, that they're not home yet. And one day, Lord, they're going to hear you say, well done, well done. Lord, pray for those who are not serving, Lord, who have withdrawn for whatever reason. Just encourage them that you've called them to this. Just encourage them, Lord, to step out in faith, to trust you. Lord, you can use them in far more ways than they can imagine. Pray for those who don't know you today, Lord, that they would see the truth, that they would trust in you and turn from their sin, Lord God, and find faith and hope in Christ alone. It's in His name. Amen. Would you stand today and respond, and however God has called you to do, whether it's pray for strength to serve or thank God for service or pray for someone else, or maybe you just want to surrender and make yourself available to serve God in whatever capacity. Maybe you just need prayer or just need to give your life to Christ. Whatever you need to do today, make sure you've left today and that you've done that as we sing and respond.
I will serve. Because